District Court Judge Arthur Tompkins is here with some more art crime. A St. Patrick's Day break-in this time, 25 years ago. They were clever in picking their moment, at least, Arthur.
Yes, in Boston there would have been a lot of activity in the night before and then the early hours of what is, yes, 25 years ago, this coming Wednesday.
So this was a break-in in a home gallery, the gallery of an American heiress. Tell us more about her.
Well, Isabel, call it a home gallery. It's a extraordinary replica of a 15th century Venetian palazzo, which Isabella Stewart Gardner built after her husband had died to house their vast collection of art and other objects, totaling about 2,500 objects that she and her husband had accumulated throughout Europe, and an extraordinary collection, really.
It's an extraordinary space. You can go online and you can see it. And in fact, you can still see the empty frames.
They're there because when Isabella Stewart Gardner died, her will stipulated in no uncertain terms that everything should be displayed exactly as it was at her death. And furthermore, she said that if the trustees moved things or sold anything, then the whole collection would go to Harvard University. So the frames are still there as placeholders and as memorials of the works that were stolen.
And as an eternal symbol of optimism that they might come back, let's talk about what was taken. Well, let's talk about how they got in first, because it's almost an art heist movie cliche.
It is.
But it worked.
They turned up dressed as Boston police officers. There were two part-time security guards on duty. They talked their way in. They said they'd had been called or been told about a disturbance. The guards opened the door. They talked the guard around from behind the desk and bound them with duct tape and took them down to the basement and handcuffed them to the pipes in the basement. Exactly. It's an art heist movie cliche. And then they had the run of the gallery, and they spent a bit under an hour and a half wandering the gallery, taking the artworks off the wall. Some of them they kept in their frames, others they took out of the frames, and they carried them outside to a red Dodge Daytona, according to several witnesses, outside. And then they left, taking with them, conservatively estimated at about $500 million worth of art.
So a Dodge Daytona, bright red. They weren't exactly trying to stay under the radar, were they?
No, and they were seen by witnesses earlier in the same car outside the Gardner Gallery.
And they took their time, as you say. This wasn't a gone in 60 seconds type of situation. They were in there for over an hour. Let's talk about what they took first, because what they left is probably as significant. But let's look at the haul.
They took a very odd collection. They took Vermeer's concert, one of about 32 Vermeers in existence, Rembrandt's Storm on the Sea of Galilee, which is his only known seascape, Manet's Chez Tortoni. Those are probably the three most important works. They then took another Rembrandt, or it was attributed to Rembrandt at the time, probably not thought of now, a landscape by Flink, another tiny, almost postage stamp size Rembrandt etching, a self-portrait, and then a very odd collection, five Degas drawings. To take the Degas drawings, they passed by a Titian's Rape of Europa, probably the most important work in the whole collection. And then hanging right next to the Degas drawings was a Michelangelo sketch of the Pieta. But they took the five drawings
and walked past the Michelangelo.
Walked past, they left it hanging on the wall. They took a Chinese bronze beaker, and then last and oddly, from the top of a small flagpole, a flag standard from the Napoleonic War, They took an eagle finial, a little statue of the eagle that tops the standard. So a very odd collection. Mm. And conspiracy theorists have speculated endlessly as to how you might interpret the collection they took, but thus far no clue.
Well, the beaker is a head-scratcher, isn't it? The Shang Dynasty goo.
Mm, it's a very small bronze beaker, not particularly valuable or remarkable. So, a very odd collection. And they had a lot of time to think about it, too. They had an hour and a half to think about it. So,
yeah, the disputed Rembrandt, a lady and gentleman in black, it's an extraordinary painting. I don't know if it is a Rembrandt, but it's beautiful, whoever did it.
Mm. Yes, it doesn't have quite the sort of muscular emotionality of Rembrandts, particularly the later Rembrandts, but it was certainly categorised as a Rembrandt at the time.
And there's a tiny, the seascape, Christ on the, in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, there's a little image, or a little figure in the foreground who's believed to be Rembrandt. He painted himself into that.
Mm. Close to the unfortunate sailor who's throwing up over the side of the boat. It's a very evocative work, that one by Rembrandt.
And she, in Isabella's personal correspondence, you can actually see the lead up to her becoming the owner of this. She had an agent acting for her overseas, and she was encouraging him to bid on this. She says his description of that picture makes me fairly ache for it. So she was obviously attached to this.
Yeah, she was. She had a whole network of agents and buyers through Europe, including the famed art historian Berenson, who was the one who got the Titian, The Rape of Europa, for her in the early days of her collection. So she was a very well-advised and very knowledgeable collector.
The Vermeer, as you say, was the most valuable. It's gorgeous. What does it show?
It shows a man and two women in a very typically Vermeer setting, a room with the characteristic tiled floor and other artworks on the wall. The man seated with his back to the artist, and there's a harpsichord or something like that being played by one of the women, and the other one is holding the music. So I'd say it's called the concert, and it's a music concert.
Of all the hall, Arthur, that was the most valuable painting that was taken.
Yes, although it's always very difficult to attribute any sort of realistic value to stolen masterpieces, because they are so well known that they in effect become almost worthless really in the hands of the robbers, unless they can ransom them back or use them for collateral or for underworld currency. But so it's always talked about as the $500 million single most valuable property theft ever. It's a little bit of an arbitrary figure, but certainly the Vermeer, the Rembrandt, and the Manet are probably the three most important works of the ones that were taken.
Arthur Tompkins is with us. We're talking about crimes against art. What happened next? Were any of them ever turned up or found?
No, none of them have ever been seen again. There was the police turned up the next morning. There was a search immediately started. The gallery offered a reward of $1 million, later raised to $5 million, and that reward has never been claimed. It's still extant. It's still on offer. Lots and lots of, as I said, conspiracy theories as to who was involved, why it was done. The main theory seems to be that it was a sort of loose grouping or confederation of Boston gangsters with out-of-state mafia connections, many of whom are long dead, who carried out the theft. There was a early suspect, was a guy called Miles Connor, who had form for this sort of thing. About 15 years earlier, he had stolen a Rembrandt from that the Boston's Museum of Fine Art, and he had used it as a sort of like a get-out-of-jail-free card. He'd kept it, and then when he was arrested, he'd used it as leverage to try and bargain either a soft deal or a release. So he was suspected of involvement. He was in prison at the time, but in 1997 he claimed he had planned but not actually carried out the theft. Another suspected, probably not of direct involvement, but of knowledge, was Whitey Bulger, who...
James Whitey Bulger.
Yes, who was captured after probably 20, 25 years on the run in California.
As played by Jack Nicholson, or a version of him as played by Jack Nicholson in The Departed. So he was wrapped up in it?
He probably knew pretty much everything that was going on in the criminal underworld in Boston at around that time, or knew of it. So they certainly suspected that he had either been involved indirectly or knew about it. He's never said anything about it. There was some hope a couple of years ago when he went on trial for a whole lot of murders that he might reveal something about it, but he hasn't done so. Hasn't done so yet. So there was a confirmed sighting of the Manet, Shay Tortoni.
Which one was this? The man sitting in the cafe.
Yes, the man in the cafe with the top hat. There was a sighting of that hanging on an apartment wall of a local mafia-connected criminal, mid-level criminal, as it were, who owned a red Dodge Daytona. But he died in 1991, soon after the theft. And
right, so that's why it wasn't followed up.
And yes, and the Manet has never been seen since. There have been other less sure sightings. Various journalists who have followed the story over the years have claimed to have been shown the Rembrandt seascape in a warehouse, or to have been given flecks of paint and the like from the paintings. But the reality is none of them have ever been seen in public again. A year or so ago, the FBI announced that they knew who had conducted the theft, that the paintings had been taken out of Boston up to Maine and then to Philadelphia, where it was they were shopped around, but without finding a buyer. So the trail has gone cold. There have been quite a few books written about the Isabella Stewart Gardner theft, and as you say, the frames hang empty in the gallery, awaiting for the return. And it's not certainly beyond the realms of possibility that one day they may show up. There have been some suggestions by various people when arrested and charged. They've claimed to the police that they've known about them. Some of them have suggested that some at least of the paintings have been destroyed, burnt in a fire, and the like. But again, no confirmation of that either. So unlike what's happening in Iraq and Syria now, when things get destroyed forever, there is still at least now hope that one day some of these paintings might resurface and might be returned to where they should be, in Isabella Stewart's home in the Fenway in Boston.
And there is precedent for that, as you say, as
we've talked about previously. Yes, lots of stolen art. Generally, it's either found very quickly, within a matter of days, or it seems to disappear for decades and then reappear. It's always a bit troubling with art, with paintings in particular, because they do need to be taken care of. They do deteriorate from moisture and sunlight and rough handling. But they are relatively small and they're relatively easy to store, particularly the ones that are taken out of their frames. So there's still the optimistic among us hope that one day they may suddenly reappear. There was a suggestion for quite a while that some at least of the paintings through Whitey Bulger's Irish connections, went back to Ireland, but again the trail's gone completely cold there, so they haven't turned up there either.
An intriguing connection. That sighting of the Manet, though, and the fact that the man owned a red Daytona also, that would be an extraordinary confluence of...
It would be. It's reasonably certain that the people who actually carried out the theft, they would have been known, and the theft would have been known about in particularly the Boston Irish Mafia underworld, which is why speculation was so strong that Whitey Bulger must have known about that as well. So it's almost certain that that is who carried out the theft. But what happened afterwards, and all mafia-connected and underworld figures tend to self-select for irrationality and unpredictability and for a certain tension in their dealings with these sort of things. And so things easily go wrong, and either things get destroyed or they end up where they might not otherwise have been planned to end up.
Yes, one of the many secrets James Whitey Bulger may be keeping. Mm. The two Raphaels and the Botticelli and the Michelangelo that weren't taken, Arthur, are they under increased security now?
Yeah, they certainly are. The Isabella Stewart Gardner Gallery has a new extension and had to go to the Massachusetts Supreme Court to get it approved in terms of Isabella Stewart Gardner's will. It has a new extension. It has very extensive security systems. Anthony Moore, who's the director of security, has written about both this theft and also other thefts, particularly of Rembrandt. So you'd hope now that it's very unlikely that somebody on Thursday morning in Boston could talk their way in to the gallery and make off with another similar haul.
Patrick's Day parade or not. Judge Arthur Tompkins, thank you very much.
Thank you, Noel.